Blog Talk Radio.
They said we can
stay in the cells at long range.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
BC country artist Mike Gucci is my guest today. He's here to talk about his music career and his new CD, Shattered Glass, featuring the just-released radio single, Heart of Gold, a cover of the classic Canadian song by Neil Young. My pleasure to welcome to the show to fill us in on some great stories and share some great songs with us. It's Mike Gucci. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Doing well. The pleasure's all mine. How are you doing
so
this evening?
I am doing great as well. Thank you. Things are good here in Ontario. Now, whereabouts are you calling from? I know you divide your time between Nashville and the BC area.
I am in Kelowna, British Columbia. That's where my home is now.
Oh, great. And how are things out there? Any signs of old man winter?
Not yet. It's quite nice out still. No snow. I'm sure up in the mountains, not too far away, there's been a little bit of sign of snow here and there, but so far we've gone without. It's fine with me.
No, exactly. Let's head back to your early start with music, Mike. And I know that your father was a preacher as well as a gospel singer, so music must have really been a big part of your life growing up.
It was. My dad always used to joke around and tell people that everyone in the family was a singer. Even the sewing machine.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Now, and some of the influences that I've seen quoted, Hank Williams, George Jones, Buck Owens, Merle Haggard. So those are the ones that were getting spun around the house?
Absolutely. You know, for the most part, though, I sort of grew up listening to my dad sing the songs of all those people. It was always live music in my home. My dad was always playing and singing all the time. You know, if it wasn't one of them, a great artist, it was my dad singing one of them. So it was, you know, throughout my whole childhood, it was all the classics, as well as a whole lot of gospel music.
Oh, yeah. Now, as far as picking up the guitar for the first time and trying that out and singing with that as well, did that come pretty young?
For myself, not really.
Okay.
I didn't really sing or play too much. I did when I was about seven. I did one little contest, and then I sort of fell into the sports more so than the music. And
right.
It wasn't until I was in my very early 20s that I got back into the music business and jumped in a band with a bunch of friends of mine called Gunshy. And we toured around Western Canada to festivals and clubs all over the place. And that's where I sort of got my personal start in the country music industry was with that band Gunshy.
So was it a pretty comfortable feeling when you first got on stage with the band and performing for crowds, or did it take a bit of time to get used to being up there and having everybody watching you and seeing you perform?
Well, back in those days, you know, I can say it now because I was young and stuff. You know, a lot of times it took a little bit of liquid courage to get things going.
Oh, gotcha. Yep.
But yeah, you know, definitely felt very comfortable on the stage. The band I was with, we were sort of a country rock band, and I was sort of the country guy, country singer singing with a bunch of rock guys. Great guys, great players, but I think it sort of turned into a one of these things is not like the others. And, you know, I decided to to go, you know, basically just really, really into the country industry rather than swapping so much over into the rock genre.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's where your heart's at, then it's something you got to do. And I know by your reading your influences, of course, and hearing you sing that country is what you do best, and also the fact that you chose on your album Shattered Glass to record a great song, Waylon and Jesse Coulter, Storms Never Last. That's pure country right there.
That song, going back to Gunshy again, it was always the most requested song that I ever did live. The band, the guys from the band used to get like upset with me all the time. You know, come on, man, like play this song too much, too often. And so, well, you know, if the people want it and it's being requested, yeah, let's do it. I used to do it 2-3 times a night sometimes.
Wow.
And it was just kind of one of those no-brainers that, you know what, I get the opportunity to record a major, big, world-class record with all the great players and producers, and I just had to have that song on there.
And sometimes I think that it would be cool if every country artist coming out today and at any point would throw on one classic country song, you know, just to throw it on there, because it's great to hear the old songs. They still sound so good.
Yeah, you know, and it really is tough because, you know, the Storms Never Last version on the new Shattered Glass album was absolutely a no-brainer. Put that on there, no problem. But then when it came to come around to trying to find a Canadian classic, you know, try and
right,
keep things Canadian and with a Canadian writer, Canadian artist, and really bring something back that, you know, people would be very familiar with, but get a new take on it. And there's been some great comebacks over the years with covers. And I mean, it was months and months. It truly took months and months before I actually found the Neil Young classic Heart of Gold. We were going through so many different songs and it was like, no, we were almost going to give up on the idea. And then it was about, you know, wee hours of the morning, jumping into the work truck, started her up, and Neil Young was on the radio singing Heart of Gold. I put it in my voice recorder and started humming the song throughout the whole day, going, man, I think I found the song. And then went home after work and researched the song and, you know, just realized a whole lot of things about Neil and about Heart of Gold being Neil Young's only number one hit song for such a legend and icon in this industry, not just in Canada, but worldwide. You know, I called up the producers and said, you know, here's the song. What do you think of it? And they just said, okay, done deal. Don't tell anybody. Be quiet. Don't let anybody know. We don't want anybody else getting it first. And so went down to Nashville, recorded the song, and it was just, it came out amazing. And it's a funny story because when I got home, I was at home, and I must have only been home for a couple days. I turned on the TV, and Neil Young's documentary, Heart of Gold, was on TV. And
what a coincidence.
Wasn't planned or anything. I just kind of clicked on the TV, and there it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. And I sat there and cried like a little baby, thinking there's got to be a reason for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Now, what about the song touched you when you heard it? Of course, you would have heard it back previously, but when you were hearing it at that moment, what made you say, I've got to record this one?
You know, there were several on the new album. You know, there's 10 songs on the album, and potentially when you're recording an album, you most artists might get 2 or 3 singles for radio. We felt strongly that, you know, if possible, all 10 songs were radio single releases. But the one big one came from a couple co-writer friends of mine. Of course, everybody knows Johnny Reed and Aaron Goodvin. Aaron Goodvin,
yes,
and Johnny Reed wrote a song. Yeah. It's the title cut off the album, Shattered Glass. And I heard the song, and it's one of those songs that you hear it and you go, well, how come I didn't write that song? That's totally my song. And so again, went in, recorded it, and it was a last second pick. We had all the songs ready. I was jumping in to a cab to go to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I remembered that my friend Aaron had pitched me a bunch of songs on a CD, and it was in my truck. So before I jumped in the cab, I grabbed the CD, put it in my suitcase, got to Nashville, was with my producer, Bob Funk, and we're listening to the songs and, you know, making our final choice. And I go, oh, yeah, but I know there's something here somewhere on one of these CDs. Well, I'm just going to flip through them. And then I hit Shattered Glass, and myself, Bob Funk, his wife, Patricia Conroy, our mouths just kind of dropped and said, that song has to go on the record. And after the recording, it just made sense, you know, with everything that's gone on in my life and everything else, that Shattered Glass kind of fit just fine as the title track.
Pretty amazing when somebody else, some other writers, capture that emotion, as you said, that made you feel like you wish you had written it because it spoke to you that deeply.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, a lot of artists do get stuck in that rut of recording everything that's theirs. And I'm a true believer that everybody, you know, has a hit song potentially in them somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, for every one hit song that somebody writes, they write another 100 or 500 that don't do very well.
It's so true, yeah.
So, you know, even if you do as an artist believe that, you know, all the songs that you've written are good enough to put on an album, sometimes something else comes along that, I mean, you just have to put it on. Put your ego aside and all of that and go, you know what, this is my song. Even if it's not yours, you're going to make it yours. By the time it's recorded, by the time it's done, you know, that song is truly yours, even though someone else wrote it.
Yeah, definitely. I hear what you're saying. Well, let's share the brand new single, which is the Neil Young song, Heart of Gold. Mike, we'll share that now, and then we'll come back. We got lots to talk about, including your nominations at the BC CMAs, also tours with George Jones, Alan Jackson, and a whole bunch of stuff. But here's the brand new single from Mike Gucci. This is Heart of Gold on In the Country.
Thank you.
And that is Mike Gucci on the line with us from BC. And the song is Heart of Gold, of course, a remake of the Neil Young classic. And yeah, definitely, Mike, you brought a great great new touch to the song.
Well, thanks, Dave. You know, it really is one of those things. When you do bring something back like that, you better get it right, or a lot of people are going to be upset with you. So I'm really hoping that we did, you know, we done it well.
And that's out of radio now, and of course we'll encourage our listeners to call their local country stations, because that makes a big difference when they get calls and requests about the song. So we'll have them do that. And also they can head to your website, MikeGucci.com. I think I have that correct?
That's right. There's also another website that it's Classista, Mike/Gucci/music.
Yeah, I saw a link to that earlier. There's a video there too, isn't there, of a pretty cool song?
Yeah, there's a video on there with it was something that I did with CMT a few years back, a reality documentary series titled Plucked, and the video Angels Unaware off of my last album, we made a video for that, and it's on that site as well.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier. It was quite a captivating video for sure. So those are your sites people can look you up at. Also, if they just Google your name, they can find your music and other stuff as well. Now, you had a couple of nominations this year at the British Columbia Country Music Awards, Album of the Year for Shattered Glass, and the Ray McCauley Horizon Award.
That's right. You know, it's such a thrill and such an honor to. You know, it was the first awards that this new album and myself have been eligible for since recording this record. And, you know, right out of the gate to get nominations like that, like an Album of the Year and a Horizon Award nomination, I mean, that's just a thrill. An artist's real dream come true of getting that recognition that they've worked so hard for over the years.
Definitely. Now, on this on the album, did you do a lot of the writing on there, or were they? How many of them were outside songs, and how many did you have a hand in writing, Mike?
I wrote with Daryl Burgess out of Nashville. I co-wrote with a couple other folks. I wrote one on there on my own as well, and just songs that had come through that made sense for the record. A lot of times you make a record, everything has to sort of coincide with each other song, you know. Can't jump all over the place with, you know, 10 ballads or 10 rock and heavy tunes. I really wanted a nice mixture of a record so that when you put the CD in, you can let it play from the beginning to the end. I think we got that. And so I co-wrote a song with Patricia Conroy on there called No Amount of Rain. And, you know, there's several others that are, you know, some Canadian writers and big writers out of Nashville.
Now, I've had Patricia on the show a couple of times, spoke with her, of course, about her big hit now in the States that's climbing the charts that she wrote for a group. But, of course, grew up listening to her music as well, so it must have been great to write that song with her.
You know, I've written songs with a lot of people, some of the best writers, not just out of Canada and, you know, the U.S., but around the world. And I truly found Patricia Conroy to be, you know, just one of the most genuine, sweetest people I've ever met in my lifetime. Just so real about everything. And we gelled very well together when it came to our styles of writing. And, nice. You know, Britton Cameron also was a co-writer on that with us. And it just came together so well. It just, you know, it was effortless almost.
Now, there was a ballad. I was listening to a couple of the tracks earlier, and one of the songs that stood out, a ballad called What It All Comes Down To, and a lot of emotion in that song. Can you talk a bit about that one?
What It All Comes Down To actually was on my last album. That was the Bad Boys and Angels album.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Gotcha,
yeah.
I've listened to a few of
yours,
okay.
That was a great piano ballad song for sure.
Yeah, Now, as far as cover songs, okay, well, you've got Heart of Gold on here, of course, and Storms Never Last. Are there any others when you're performing live, some of the classics that you love to perform, Mike?
I do a couple old Merle Haggard tunes. You know, the first song I ever learned how to play on guitar was Killing Time, so sometimes I'll throw that into a set. You know, Little Sister's sort of an Elvis DeWitt version of that, and I don't do a whole lot of cover tunes, but there are some great ones out there, and it's great when you're a new artist trying to introduce your music to a new public. Of course, you throw in those old classics, and I have so many favorites. Vince Gill is my all-time favorite vocalist. I mean, one day it'd be a dream to meet Vince Gill, and I do a song of his pretty much all the time, and in all my sets that I do.
He's such a, as you say, such a great vocalist and songwriter as well, just terrific.
You betcha. The song I do is called Sight for Sore Eyes by Vince Gill. It's not very well known by many, but it's real meaningful for myself. And
very nice.
Just fantastic.
Now, as far as opening shows, and I talked just before the song about it, you've had a chance to share the stage and open shows for guys like Alan Jackson, great Canadian group Emerson Drive, Luke Bryan, who is a big rising star in country music, and also George Jones. You toured across Canada with him. I saw George at Casino Rama several months ago. It might have even been last year. Time flies. But what was that like touring with George Jones?
That all was amazing, and the Casino Rama was actually the only date on the tour that I didn't open for George.
Right. I remember we had talked on some social site, and you had mentioned that, I think it was Twitter, and that was going to be the one you weren't at, and of course that's the one that I was at.
Yeah. You know what? It was just fantastic. It was an amazing experience. Getting to know all the guys in the band, all the Jones boys and Brittany and Nancy Jones, George's wife, is again, one of the sweetest ladies ever. My oldest daughter came along on part of the tour with us, and she kind of tucked her under her wing and was treated us all. So it was really truly a family kind of an affair. And standing out on that stage in front of thousands of people, and in Ontario, I'll tell you, that the Ontario shows that we did as an opener, I got standing ovations everywhere we played, and that was just, spine tingling moments, and to sit on the side of the stage and watch George perform every night. I had the opportunity after the very first night to go out and join him on stage at the end of every night, at the end of every show.
Right.
And I just
very
couldn't
nice.
Bring
Did
myself
you?
To do it. I was like, you know what? I need to earn this. I have to earn the right to do this. And it wasn't until actually the very last show of the tour that I jumped up on stage with him and finished off the night with him with Don't Need No Rocking Chair. And
oh,
that
yeah.
was an amazing thrill for me. It made it a lot more worth it, I think, to me, to wait for the whole tour to go up the last night. Every other night, I sat on the side of the stage and cried like a little baby. Just
no
doubt. On, at least that I was there.
Yeah, no doubt. Seeing the possum up close and hearing him sing all those great songs, which, of course, you would have grown up with and heard your dad sing. Do you have a favorite George Jones song? I mean, he's got so many classics, and so many people say that He Stopped Loving Her Today, of course, is like the country song of all time. Do you have one of his that you put up there on that pedestal?
You know what? That is the song. That is and always has been and probably always will be the country song of all time.
Yeah.
And truly for me, a favorite of mine. My brother also is a singer, and I wouldn't even go there trying to sing the song because my brother does such a great job of it.
Right.
But as far as George Jones songs go, "He Stopped Loving Her Today" is no doubt my favorite song.
Now, I've read how you talked about country music based on real life experiences and, you know, not always seeing the sunshine, to paraphrase, and stuff you've gone through in life. Now, do you want to share some of, I know 2007 was a pretty tough year for you.
Yeah, you know, it was, and it's kind of what country music is all about, you know, and 2007, I lost my father to a very rare case of throat cancer. And shortly after that, I moved from Edmonton back to my hometown of Prince George to be close to my mom, you know, with the kids. And a few months into our move, went down south, dropped the kids off at their mom's down to where I'm at now. And on the way back up to Prince George for the summer to get us set up and get the kids ready for school the next school year, about 10, 15 minutes out of Prince George, a moose jumped on my vehicle, and I have no memory of it at all. But,
wow.
You know, it was quite traumatic, and I suffered a brain injury and, you know, got beat up pretty good, broken up and cut up. And it was quite a long road back. But that's how this whole album, Shattered Glass, came about. You know, I believe I was sort of on the edge of, you know, just working full time and kind of putting music on the back burner. And I think it was kind of a blessing in a sense that moose had jumped on me, because it kind of gave me a clear vision, and it shook my head up enough to say, you know, what really is it that you truly want to do, and how can you help your family, and how can you, you know, fulfill a family dream,
right.
And you know, continue that legacy that your father put there for you, and so on.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what, I couldn't speak properly for the first few months after the accident. I stuttered very poorly, went through neuro rehab and speech therapy and different things, trying to get my voice back, trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. And meanwhile, while I was not able to speak properly, I was online sending out emails, which at times took me 8 hours in a day to just write a one paragraph to send out an email.
Cool.
And I sent out an email to Kevin Churko,
yep.
Music producer. I remembered him from back in the day from Underground Outlaws and Gunsha. I used to cross paths, and, you know, he's had great success with Mutt Lange and Shania Twain and you know, Britney Spears and Ozzy Osbourne and Ringo Starr and Celine Dion. The list goes on and on. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to give this a try. I'm going to send him an email, see if he remembers me. And, you know, it had been several years had gone by. And,
right.
And you know, probably 2 minutes after I sent that email to him, he responded to me. I didn't expect such a quick response. I was blown away. And he's like, yeah, you know, send me some of your stuff. Let me know what you're doing. And so I sent him out a copy of that Plucked series. I sent
right.
him a copy of my Bad Boys and Angels album. He got back to me shortly after that and said, yeah, you know what, I'm really, really not into emerging artists or any of that sort of stuff right now. His schedule is so busy with all the big names. But he
sure.
said, you know, I really think that there's something here. And he said, I really love your voice, and I want to record your album. So, from that point on, I worked hard like crazy to try and get sponsorships, to try and get investors, putting together these folio deals to try and get people interested. Like, come on, man, help me out. Let me make this
big
world-class record. And
that's right.
You know, through all of that, going through neuro rehab and speech therapy, and even when I was down in Nashville recording the cover tracks and stuff for the song and co-writing for the album,
yeah.
I still actually hadn't quite been, you know, 100% yet. And it was really quite an amazing thing doing all of that and going through all of that and being able to accomplish this album. And then now to have it come out and be nominated its first time out as Album of the Year, and hopefully CCMAs come along and some other great things happen throughout this year. Today was a great day for me. I finally found somebody on board, which every artist and label and management, they look and search for a grant writer, a proposal writer, someone that can help you out to get the sponsorships and the tours and the grants. And had a fantastic conversation today, have a nice lunch tomorrow, putting all of this together for some new tours in the new year, to get some of the grants together, to get some sponsorships together. And it's just like a big bright light just went off, and that nice bright light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter and brighter, and more things are coming about. Having Paul Merce Concerts come on board as my management, they're really fantastic for me. They put me through the George Jones tour. They got me touring and opening for Alan Jackson back east, and Billy Currington was over there.
Those are great acts to be opening for. Great audience to be in front of, too.
The Luke Bryan and the Emerson Drive and stuff, that was actually down in Arlington, Washington at the end of the summer. And it was my only U.S. gig this summer, and my only U.S. gig ever. So it was quite amazing.
That's terrific.
Having all of these things happen is great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what a journey and what a story, and it really speaks to not only the power of the human spirit, but the power of a dream to keep you going on, to get you to that place of healing.
Yeah. I wrote something down when I was starting the whole comeback of all of this, and the phrase was, God has given each and every one of us a gift, and with that gift comes the ability to dream. Those who set goals, work hard, and believe in themselves and never give up can really truly one day wake up living that dream. And it's something that I work so hard to try and live by that. It's a big struggle sometimes, it's a huge struggle, but you just keep your head up, your chin up, and one foot in front of the other, and good things happen. HMV came on board and did an exclusive release of the Shattered Glass album in stores across Canada. Ticketmaster came on board and had me as their first ever emerging artist on their website. So some great things have happened. I've sort of gone back down to being more or less self-managed again. But, I mean, that's just how it is sort of these days with artists. There's not a whole lot of money to management companies with new emerging artists. And it does get to the point of whoever has the most money gets there a little quicker once you get to a certain point. Paul and the crew over there, they've done a fantastic job for me. I appreciate everything they've done so much. I look forward to a great relationship with them in the future. But it's time to keep moving forward, find those grant writers, find those touring opportunities, find other artists that are friends from the past, present, future to go out with and to really get the music out there in the live venues.
We are speaking with Mike Gucci here on In the Country, on the line with us from BC, where he calls home. And we're going to turn back to the CD, Mike. And I believe, was this the first single off of Shattered Glass called Didn't Get a Damn Thing Done?
that's a song it was actually my mom's, that was a title that my mom had come up with. She had in the past would ask, my kids, the grandchildren, did you take the garbage out or did you mow the lawn? And the response is always, I was gonna. And then so my mom would say, I was gonna, never got a damn thing done. So get out there and mow the lawn or what have you. So the title came there, and I went down to Nashville and threw the title out there, and Dale Burgess and I wrote this song.
It's a great one. This is Mike Gucci here on In the Country with Didn't Get a Damn Thing Done.
I had a plan and a hammer in a box of wrenches. I headed out the door with the best of intentions. She just walked out on the porch, looking too good to ignore all the things that I thought I was gonna do to slip my mind. Well, I could paint the fence and fix the plumbing, but when she wants some good, good loving, all my best laid plans just disappear. Well, I could fix the truck and fix the tractor, but all that stuff just doesn't matter. She's the reason nothing ever gets done around here. Oh, I coulda, I shoulda, I said I was gonna, but the day got away and I didn't get a damn thing done. Smiles and looks my way. All those things are gonna have to wait for another day. Well, I can paint the fence and fix the plumbing, but when she wants some good, good loving, all my best laid plans just disappear. Well, I can fix the truck and fix the tractor, but all that stuff just doesn't matter. She's the reason nothing ever gets done around.
Country artist Mike Gucci and Didn't Get a Damn Thing Done, a song he co-wrote with Daryl Burgess, and that is found on his Shattered Glass CD. Now, Mike, can you let us know where our listeners can buy that CD from?
That album is available at HMVs across the country. You can go to iTunes and buy it there as well as my website. You can
awesome.
Find
now,
it there.
Yeah, definitely. I'll encourage our listeners to check it out. Great songs on there, including the two you've heard on the show, and Storms Never Last, as we talked about that one. Great Waylon Jennings, Jesse Coulter cover song. Duets, Mike. I often ask guests if there's a dream duet partner that comes to mind, someone that they'd love to record a song with, whether it's male or female or even someone from another genre. Does anyone come to mind for a future duet?
Vince Gill is my hero.
Nice.
I'd have to say Vince.
That would be great. Now, do you have a favorite song of Vince's? You talked about Sight for Sore Eyes earlier. Is there another song of his that really stands out to you?
When I Call Your Name.
Oh, yeah. His first one. That
one
just
of my all-time favorites.
That's a classic for sure. And I remember when that came out, and that was when everybody noticed who Vince Gill was, going probably about 20 years ago now.
Yeah, you know, vocally he's just he's just a monster singer, that guy.
Yeah,
I just love
for
his
sure.
voice.
Now, what about fans? I know that they're a real important part of your career, and they're so encouraging to keep you going on and stuff like that. Can you talk about what your fans mean to you, Mike?
I actually dedicate that Vince Gill song, "Sight for Sore Eyes," to the crowd every time I get to perform live, because it's really what it is to me. Is at one point not knowing whether I'd ever sing again, not knowing if I would get that opportunity, and every time, I mean, whether it's one person, I spent the whole summer this past summer, just kind of from town to town, city to city, you know, from festival to festival, in people's backyards, barbecues, basements, living rooms, whether it was, you know, one person, 10 people, 15 people, 6 people, whatever.
Yep.
You know, people, it really means a lot to me, even if it's one person sitting there and wants to listen to me sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the reason why you do it. It keeps you coming back. It gives you a reason to do what you do.
That's terrific.
People are amazing.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to hear not only what's going on with your music today and how well it's doing, but all you had to get through to get here. And I know it's a sweet reward to be at this point and all the stuff that's happening and is about to happen as the days and months go by. Thanks so much for coming on, Mike. Been a real pleasure, and also a pleasure to share the songs as well.
Hey, fantastic. You know, Country Music News, got the cover story for that this month in November as well with an article in there. It's been an honor for me to be on the show with you. Thanks for taking so much time with me, and I hope to chat with you again in the future.
Well, let's definitely do it again, Mike, and I'm glad you brought up Country Music News because I had made a note to mention it. November cover story, that's you, and anybody out there who doesn't get Country Music News, of course, should they can get in touch with me, and I can pass on Larry Delaney's email because it's if you're in Canadian country music, it's a great publication to get for sure.
You bet. And I'd like to throw a shout out there to a good friend of mine, Bob Funk, producer out of Nashville, Tennessee, Patricia Conroy's husband, the time and energy and everything else he put on this album, Shattered Glass. Couldn't have done it without him. And any of those artists out there who truly want a world-class record, get a hold of Bob Funk.
That sounds perfect. Appreciate it so much, Mike. And we'll talk again soon.
You bet. Thanks a lot, and thank you to everyone out there listening.
My guest today has been country artist Mike Gucci, and his new CD is called Shattered Glass. Of course, the brand new single is Heart of Gold. Be sure to call up your local country station and have them play that one. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country.